CJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perron.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome again to another edition of your Sunday program, Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. So good Sunday to you, but let's not forget the other days of the week, because we know for a fact that there are some of you listening to the show on a Monday. So if it is a Monday, you're back at work. Or maybe you actually just got home from work. Anyway, very nice to have you with us this week. I promise that this week we'll have a little bit more music than we have had over the past couple of weeks. And there was a very interesting question that came in. And it's not even related to anything that we do here, but it is related, of course, to something that I do. And I will be discussing that after we take a listen to our first piece of music today, Terry Snyder and his orchestra and Putting on the Ritz. Terry Snyder and his orchestra Putting on the Ritz, beginning today's edition of Happy Station for April the 2nd, 2017. Now, I know that we are a day after What is it? April Fool's Day. Yeah, I forgot about it. The fool forgot about April Fool's Day. Was I planning anything? Nah, not really. You know, because I always look at it this way. If there's that one day of the year to play practical jokes on people, and everybody knows it's April 1st, well, they're kind of expecting it, right? My theory is that it's better not to do it on April 1st, because then they won't expect it. You know, I like playing practical. It's a lot of fun. Practical jokes are hilarious. One of my favorites, of course, is calling people up, which I've done a number of times, and all kinds of silly voices. But some people are wise to it and catch on that, oh, this nutcase again, you know. Anyway, at the beginning of the show, I told you that we received an email from a listener of ours by the name of Peter Oldham, who lives in Dublin, Ireland. And Peter wrote with a very interesting question that I thought that I would answer on the show. He says, Keith, I know that you're a petrol head. Yes, I love cars. And as you probably know, I now do the Taiwan version of Top Gear in Chinese, which is quite interesting. But I also know that not just with... Where am I? Here we go. I lost my place, you see. Lost my place. It's the end of the week. What do you expect, you know? Don't complain already. The show doesn't cost you anything. Well, most of the time, anyway. He says, I know you're a petrol head. I know you have cars. And I know you also love motorbikes, as I've seen from your Facebook page and postings through Twitter. Do you prefer... This is the question. Do you prefer direct drive or chain-driven motorcycles? Well, Peter... Old ham. You are an old ham, aren't you? Yes, an old ham in Dublin, Ireland. But anyway, that's an interesting one because there's a lot of debate about the difference between a shaft-driven direct drive or a chain-driven motorcycle. Now, I know there's some people right out now who are listening saying, ugh, cars and motorbikes, not interested. So I would suggest you either lower the radio down, go and do something, and come back in a couple of minutes, and we won't be talking about the subject anymore. All right, that's one option. Or you can sit around and just have a little bit of fun with it, I suppose. And then you can just casually bring up in conversation, right? By the way, did you know? Where did you hear that from? You're not a motorcycle fan? Maybe you are, but we don't know it. Ha ha ha. Okay, anyway. You see, I'm being a fool today. It's only the day after April Fool's. But anyway, Peter Oldham of Dublin, Ireland asked the question, what do you think is better, direct drive or chain-driven motorcycles? Well, Peter, that really all depends. Now, okay, to be perfectly honest, I prefer direct drive motorbikes. I have both. Now, direct drive meaning there's no chain. It goes to a gearbox and there's a shaft that goes to a differential. I hope it's not too technical now. A differential gear in the back wheel that makes the bike move forward. Now, direct drive motorcycles do require a lot less maintenance. And it is very rare that they do break or need any type of repairs. But when you do have repairs on a direct drive bike, it will cost a lot more money than a chain-driven bike, okay? Because a chain, you just replace the chain and that's it. A direct drive, there are so many moving components that the price can keep going. Now, what are the differences? Yes, chain-driven bikes are easier to repair. But you do have to adjust the chain periodically and replace it, of course, depending on how much driving you do. Because if you don't do it, it will damage the cogs, either at the gearbox or the cog at the back wheel. So a little bit more care you have to pay attention to. But like I said, repairs are inexpensive. Performance-wise, there is a difference as well. Chain-driven bikes, I will admit, I find faster than my direct drive bikes. Now, my direct drive bikes are, I have one at 750cc, 32 horsepower, and the other one is 1,300cc, and that is 50 horsepower. The chain-driven bikes I have, the biggest is 350cc, and the smallest is 150cc. Believe it or not, the change-driven ones are faster off the line than the bigger engines on the BMWs. But you have to. There's a bit of a trade-off here. While you do get a lot more speed, let's say, out of a chain-driven bike, because a chain-driven bike will be more performance-driven, the BMW system, the direct drive, be a big advantage is that maybe it's not as fast, but there's a lot more torque. So if you're traveling in the mountains, let's say, you have that extra power to be able to go up steep climbs. So those are two, just two of the big changes. But yes, I do prefer direct drive motorcycles to chain driven ones. In fact, this week, I have a Yamaha Dragonfly. It's about 20 years old and had to replace the chain because it started making this god-awful noise. And my chain-driven bikes, I have to change the chain, well, because I drive them a lot, periodically over the course of the time that I've had them. Whereas my direct drive bikes, I have three, not once have I opened up any of those gearboxes, except for, no, that's not true. I did once to replace a clutch, but that was about it. Anyway, Peter, thank you very much for your very interesting question. I hope I didn't bore too many people out there. And that's the last of discussing about any type of motor vehicles today. But it won't surprise me if we'll be doing it again in the near future. Who knows? Time for music now. And the song that I was originally going to play, He's a Rebel, I don't have it around. We couldn't find it. I think somebody borrowed the disc, took it home, and never brought it back. And I'm glaring at the other people just walking by the control room, but they don't even know what I'm saying right now, so it doesn't matter. But our technician actually found something more interesting. Our technician today is Henry Wu. Wu, by the way, is another word for five, so Henry Five. Henry the Fifth! Hey, that's an idea. I'm just going to call you Henry the Fifth from now on. I didn't really think about it before. Henry Wu. Because in Chinese, E, R, Sam, Si, Wu, Wu, five, right? You're Henry V. Henry V found another song that he said we played quite some time ago by a German singer by the name of Manfred Krug. He's actually an East German singer that defected to West Germany. But in East Germany, he had a lot of hits. This is one of them, Twist in der Nacht, which translates into English as Twist in the Night, Manfred Krug.
Manche machen über alles mit, weil sie einfach gegen alles sind. Früher tanzten sie Galopp, na und das ging auch ganz schön rund. Dass Sport gesund ist, hört man immer fort. Richtig tanzen, das ist auch ein Sport. Und es bringt ein bisschen Schwung ins Blut, na so geht's schon ganz gut. Und hat man Pause, geht's auch zu Hause, weil das so ein Spaß macht. Twist in der Nacht. Jedermann, Twist
ist, ist etwas, das ein jeder kann. Und wer müde in den Beinen ist, na der tanzt keinen Twist.
Das war Twist in der Nacht, der Manfred Krug, der Deutsche Demokraten Republik. Manfred Krug from the GDR, East Germany, with Twist in the Night. Anyway, I hope that you're twisting in the day, the night, any time of day. Twist away. Yes, twist away. Last week on the program, I mentioned that it is now 8 years since I have been hosting this show. And our good friend Savinda, and I call him Savinda because his actual name is quite unpronounceable. It is Savinda blah, 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 blah. And he said, Savinda is just easier. He did mention one time that he enjoys the different concoctions of his name that I have said on the program. Anyway, Savinda was making reference, and a few other people as well, that it was the 8th year of this program coming back, and yours truly hosting it. And what we've made available are the first actual 2 shows that aired on March 12th. One that aired at 100 hours UTC, and then at 15 hours UTC. And those are available right now at our Patreon page. Those are free downloads. But of course, there's a lot of other content that we have made available to those who are patrons. And we're getting up there. We're getting up there. So check it out. Patreon.com/PCJ Radio. One of the other programs that we just made available right now is a series that we started last year. We just did the first 4 programs at the end of last year. And we have the second series coming later this year. And when I find out the details, I will let you know. It's a series called From the Radio Netherlands Archives. And program 2 is now there. And here's a little teaser for that show.
The Dutch World Broadcasting System, Radio Nederland, presents
Mujammil Haq, mera umar 10 saal.
His name is Mujammil Haq and age is 10 years.
Have you ever gone to school?
Nahi.
No, he never been to school.
How long have you been working?
3.5.
He is working last 3.5 years.
Do you also work in the carpet industry?
Haan.
He is also working in carpet industry.
Do you have sisters and brothers who are also working?
Pete was more than a little confused. His street wasn't named after the assassinated Egyptian president, Anwar Sadat, who made peace with Israel in 79. It was simply Sadat Street, named after a long-forgotten Lebanese hero. But what was it like when he first came here? Well, it was vibrant. His apartment was the meeting place for a host of exotic personalities, showgirls, hustlers, writers, mobsters, poets, and Palestinians.
This is the Dutch International Service, Radio Netherlands.
The commander of these Netherlands forces going to Korea is Lieutenant Colonel M.A.P. Donada, who has just been promoted from the rank of Major to Lieutenant Colonel. Lieutenant Colonel Donada, I know that you're very busy this morning, so I don't want to keep you very long, but I wonder if you could just answer a few questions for us, and could you tell us, first of all, about the training these men have had prior to going to Korea?
Well, we had individual training here, and people are all well-trained in jungle fight and...
Hello, and welcome to From the Radio Netherlands Archives from PCJ Radio International. I'm Paulette McQuarrie. On today's program, our focus will be on news and topical programs. ¶¶
Program 2 of From the Radio Netherlands Archives that was broadcast at the end of last year is now available through our Patreon page. The full program, of course, is available to Patreons. And there's a whole slew, can I say that? Things, of other material as well. So do go and check it out. Just another quick thing. You may remember on this show about 8 years ago, we had a chap here who was our guest by the name of Mark Fahey. And Mark Fahey wrote a very interesting book and website and all kinds of details about Firedrake. Now, those who are shortwave listeners may know Firedrake. It's the music that the Chinese use to jam international broadcasters. And I thought it was time to have him back on Media Network Plus and, of course, on this show again. And that's what we're going to be speaking to in a moment. But first, let's take a listen to another piece of music today. Henry Mancini and his orchestra from Country Gentlemen. That's what it's called. With For the Good Times. Henry Mancini and his orchestra with For the Good Times here on Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Now, as I mentioned, Mark Fahey was on this show 8 years ago talking about Firedrake. Well, he's come out now with an ebook which has a fascinating title. It's called Behind the Curtain, and it's available through iTunes, and this time focuses on propaganda and the propaganda machine from the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Now, of course, this is a very lighthearted program, and I thought, yeah, let's talk about something serious. Actually, well, it is kind of serious, but not exactly serious. This week on the show, we're going to bring you part one of my recent interview, which I conducted this week with Mark Fahey, author of Behind the Curtain, North Korea. Now, the lead question that I had for him was, well, first, okay, you wrote a book about Fire Drake and Chinese propaganda, and now you've moved your way to the DPRK. Why? And is this sort of a communism tour or a communism series? Well, actually, it almost is, which we'll hear about in the second part of the interview. But let's see how he answered the first part.
Oh, it's the same interest, actually. So it goes back to being a teenager that stumbled across shortwave radio in the Cold War period and enjoying Radio Berlin International, Radio Tirana, Radio Moscow, Radio Peking, of course. And in there as well was Radio Pyongyang, as it was called at the time, from North Korea. So it was a general interest in propaganda as an art form in many ways. The content interested me, but also just the techniques and the presentation of utopian societies and happy workers and so on, I found totally fascinating.
But the North Koreans have a very, I mean, when I think back of the broadcast that I used to listen to from Radio Moscow and the old Radio Peking and the former Radio Berlin International and others, and even Radio Havana Cuba and so on, North Korea is very different.
Sure, it's not a true communist or socialist state. It's now a religious state, really, with the religion being Kimism, based on Kim Il Sung. It still remains now very rigid in the messaging and what you'll hear from North Korea. And obviously, visiting there is fascinating as well. So, Fire Drake was an interest in China, and North Korea was an interest as well.
You took it one step further. You decided to go visit North Korea.
Yeah. So, I'd always been interested in North Korea, and once you earn some money and you earn some freedom, then what I decided to do was spend a lot of time traveling around to places and radio stations that I'd once listened to or got a QSL card from or wrote to. And I never really suspected that I'd go to North Korea, but eventually there was a Faithless, that UK band Faithless. There was a film clip to one of their songs, which was based on, they were clips from the Ariane Games, the mass games in Pyongyang. And it was just such an amazing film clip that I thought, I've got to go and see this for myself. And then this drew a whole fascination. If I'm going to go to North Korea, then it would be great to turn it into a bit of a project to find out more about broadcasting, the mass media and so on. So when I started researching that, you can find plenty to read about human rights, about military build-ups and tensions, but actually there wasn't that much I could find on the internet or in bookstores about broadcasting, mass media, and the role of propaganda in the media. So decided it's never been documented before fully, I might as well do it.
Now, you did something, of course, that is you're not supposed to bring into North Korea, is a recording device. How did you do that?
Yeah, so I brought in a couple of different things, and so I went a total of four big trips and one small one, and each time took in devices to record and collect data. So what I was interested in getting GPSs into the country, and GPSs are forbidden. Any kind of radio is forbidden, and I obviously wanted to take radios in because I wanted to record and the FM networks and actually record, do band scans of the broadcast band in places like Pyongyang and Kaesong and so on. But they also had an interest in, of course, there's a total unknown factor, which is how well do the outside signals penetrate that curtain, that blockade that North Korea have built around jamming and so on. So also did some band scans in some parts of Korea, quite deliberately listening to outside broadcasters and recording them, how well their signals were received. So this required actually becoming a smuggler.
a spy, actually, a secret agent.
Yeah, so in 2011, which was my first trip, and it was, in my mind, was primarily a scouting trip to see how far, how essentially find out the boundaries and what had just how it works. That actually was the only time that I was actually got into trouble, but it was only very light trouble. I was in Pekdusan at Mount Pektu, and I saw soldiers disappearing into what looks like a really complex underground network of tunnels, and went and photographed the entrance to the tunnels and thought that I was in the middle of nowhere, thought that I wasn't seen, but ended up with a rifle in my back and marched down a hill and my SD card and my camera deleted. But apart from that, and actually they gave me back the SD card. So once I got back to Australia, I recovered all the photographs that they thought they deleted. But that was the only time I really was, as far as I know, detected. And I just kind of worked on the assumption that surely I can talk my way out of it. Maybe that's naive, but that's what I was thinking.
Now, I remember some pictures that you posted from your hotel room. And, I mean, it's very common to have these, like, built-in radios in hotels. And the one in your hotel was very strange indeed.
Yeah, so this, if you spend time in hotels, and particularly if you do business travel or do any travel and you end up in a hotel, a typical feature is between the two beds in the room is a console with a radio built into that console. And this is just something you see in pretty well every hotel in the world, except for North Korea. So in North Korea, so if you do see a device like this in North Korea, it's usually just a couple of buttons which supposedly would have piped hotel music, but of course don't work, just like most of these radios around the world. They quite often don't work. Mm-hmm. I went to one hotel in Hamhung, and it had newly been renovated. The city actually had only relatively recently opened up again for outsiders to visit, and right between two beds was this pristine radio console that looked really impressive with a tuning dial for FM and AM. And I couldn't believe it. It was so weird that as soon as I walked in the room, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So went and thought, great, this is too easy. I'm going to listen to the radio. Turned it on. Of course, nothing worked. So then spent a couple of hours pulling apart the bedside console and took photographs of why it actually doesn't work. So the whole speaker had been removed, all of the audio cabling had been, the power transformer was cut and so on. So they'd gone to an effort of putting in the room this whole piece of furniture, which gives the impression of a connection to the outside world and kind of like a gives the impression of normality and maybe even luxury, but there was no, that device is never intended to work. And the funniest thing was that the following morning on checkout, I mentioned it at the reception desk that my radio wasn't working. They assured me that they would have it fixed so the next guest wouldn't be so disappointed.
Mm-hmm. when you were there, I mean, you said that you were tuning in to broadcasts from outside of North Korea. What is available and is it easy to hear?
So actually my main interest was, first thing I noticed was that in cities there was jamming. So in Pyongyang there's a large amount of jamming across the AM band. And then looking at those frequencies, you can work out what they're actually jamming. So the majority of them are South Korean medium wave stations. Then at night you could hear Chinese and Japanese stations, but they were not, you couldn't hear them during the daytime, but at night when they propagated, you could hear them, but they obviously weren't considered to be strong enough to be targeted for jamming. But once I left cities like Pyongyang, usually you didn't find jamming on the bands. And so I became quite interested to how well South Korean radio penetrated into North Korea. So particularly in south of Pyongyang, from Pyongyang, and you don't have to move that far south of Pyongyang. And as you move south, you can hear pretty easily the FM commercial stations and KBS stations from South Korea. And it appears that once you leave an area where an urban area where there'll be educated classes and elites, there isn't any local jamming at all. Of course, the North Koreans heavily jam shortwave, but when it comes to FM and medium wave, only in the cities that appeared to happen.
I'm not sure if you're aware, there's a city in China called Dandong in Liaoning province that borders North Korea, which I've been to a number of times. And there are quite a few North Koreans in that city because, well, officially they're in that city because it's one of the entry points for trade between China and North Korea. And quite a few Chinese have told me that it's also one of the main smuggling ports. And they said sometimes, well, actually quite often, you'll find North Korean smugglers that will want and do smuggle in shortwave radios from China, like Texans and Deegans and everything, which I found quite fascinating. And I asked this Chinese guy who works for a government department. He said, "Is China aware of this?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, China's very aware of this, but China decides not to do anything."
Yeah, I think that there's a fair bit of outside media being received and consumed inside North Korea. So maybe radio is still difficult because there's jamming and so on. But one thing that is definitely making a big impact, and strangely enough, this month there was a good documentary on NHK about this word. This was included in the documentary, which is about how widely spread now USB sticks and SD cards and with media on them are getting inside the DPRK, and this has become quite an issue. So this is, of course, what's on those USB sticks and SD cards isn't necessarily content promoting democracy or values like that. It's quite often soap operas from South Korea or Western movies. But that's just... The regime, of course, will feel that certainly undermines their position. The more that the general public learn of life from the outside, the harder it is for their legitimacy to be maintained.
Well, in the 1980s, especially in communist Europe, it was very common to have smuggled movies on VHS tapes that were circled around in countries like the GDR and Romania and so on. You know, what I found fascinating was a few months ago I interviewed a woman from an organization that actually helps get some of these SD cards and USB sticks smuggled into North Korea. And she told me one of the most popular ones that they've had in most recent years was a movie that caused a lot of controversy when it was released. The movie The Interview. She said they sent out something like 30,000 copies of this movie.
Yeah,
USB sticks, because I mean, something I don't think, I mean, a movie like The Interview, which is actually hysterical, but what's interesting is, you know, there's parts of the movie that I think they got from actual facts.
Oh, and watching that movie, because I've watched it quite a few times, and watched the very first time was that Christmas Day or soon after, where it kind of got leaked as on BitTorrent. But it seems like it was purposely leaked. But anyway, if you don't know anything about North Korea, it can still be an entertaining movie, of course. But if you know anything about North Korea, almost every 30 seconds there's an inside joke. Whoever's involved in that movie, there are some real people that know North Korea inside out.
Well, the one that I laughed at was where they go to a supermarket. And yeah. everything is... Because I went to a market in Pyongyang that was just like that. It was immaculate inside and had everything, but you couldn't buy anything. And all the boxes on the shelves were empty.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what's funny, though, Mark, is you tell people this, and they actually... I mean, okay, honestly, it doesn't sound believable, but it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It's just totally, it's totally the way it is. It's the craziest place.
Now, let's talk about what do you think is... Do you think the propaganda that North Korea puts out is as effective as, let's say, of what the Soviets did or even the Chinese?
I personally don't think it is. It's, of course, I see it through a Western lens, and being an Australian, we kind of are a bridge between the British and the Americans, but think you know, similar to both of those cultures. So, North Korean propaganda, the propaganda which they craft for the outside audience, the English speaking audience, it's just so over the top and kind of unbelievable that it almost becomes comedy. So I don't think it's as effective. Well, certainly, but I was much younger, of course, when I was listening to shortwave radio during the Cold War. But at least when I listened to something like Radio Moscow or Radio Tashkent or Radio Peace and Progress, while the delivery might have been stilted and it might have been the formatting might have been a bit more rigid than what I would have heard on my local radio, at least the content was believable. You would half believe and think, I wonder how much of this is true, how much isn't. But at least it was plausible. North Korean propaganda, to most outsiders, is just over the top.
Last summer, there's a small improv group that I occasionally will perform with, and we did something on. I prepared something on North Korea. And actually, what the thing is, I didn't write any of the actual words. I took a documentary that was produced by North Korean television on Kim Jong-un. And I used text word per word from that documentary, which they produced in English. And people laughed. I mean, yeah. I wasn't making this stuff up. I took it word per word from this documentary and presented it in the same style that they did. And everybody laughed.
Yeah, it's like, well, when you read in the sentence where they call Obama a monkey and things like this, and it's just like, and you realize that this is the official output from a, you know, the official information organization of a nation. It's hysterical.
There's a piece of music that Radio Pyongyang will occasionally play. It's called Our General is the Best.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard this piece.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine described it as Gilbert and... It sounds like a piece by Gilbert and Sullivan, but it's scary. It is just so odd because it really sounds like a Gilbert and Sullivan piece from a musical like The Mikado or The Pirates of Penzance or whatever, but it's just absolutely spooky.
I don't think they understand their reasons for propaganda, for sending this information anyway, is complex, but they certainly don't understand their audience. I suppose the only people in the outside world that really receive it well are those members of the Korean Friendship Association, which is scattered around the world, which follow the teachings of Kim Il-sung. But apart from that, I think most people, it's primarily a source of comedy.
And that was part one, that was part one of my conversation with Mark Fahey, author of Behind the Curtain, North Korea. Next week, Mark will be joining us on the program again to talk more about that fascinating book. And it really is. It really, really is. Anyway, you are listening to PCJ Radio International. The name of the show, of course, is Happy Station. Now time for more music because we've been doing way too much talking. The Girls from Paramarimbo by Barry Lippmann and his orchestra. We'll be right back.
umher und im Boote fahren übers Meer. Segel weiß wie Schnee, tauchen auf am Quai. Sonnenbrand gebrannt, gehen die Girls entlang am weißen Strand. Im Vorübergehen kannst du gleich verstehen. Hier ist von Paramaribo, voll sauber, so schön und jung. Hier ist von Paramaribo, voll Rhythmus und voller Schwung. Süßer Wein macht Mut und die Samba geht dir gleich ins Blut. Mädchen braun und schön lassen dich nicht gehen. Drum frag nicht lange, du wirst glücklich sein. Denn Girl ist dein.
Girls from Paramaribo, Barry Littman and his orchestra. I promised that this week we'd play a little bit more music on the show. So let's play another one right now. Vinky Myra and the James Lass Orchestra with Ala, Mana, Ala.
Alle Männer, alle gehen dem schönen Mädchen in die Falle. Alle Männer, alle, sie fallen darauf ein, genau wie du. Alle Männer, alle, gehen dem schönen Mädchen in die Falle. Einmal geht für alle die Mausefalle zu. Wenn Mama von Verlobung spricht, sehen wir dich viele Tage nicht. Denn du hörst so etwas nicht gern. Du schleißt wie die Katze um den heißen Brei, aber immer bleibst du auch nicht frei. Alle Männer, alle, gehen den schönen Mädchen in die Falle. Alle Männer, alle, sie fallen darauf rein, genau wie du. In die Falle. doch du willst Junggeselle sein. Aber das ändert sich bestimmt, denn auch Rom war nicht an einem Tag erbaut. Eines Tages bin ich deine Braut. Alle Männer, alle gehen den schönen Mädchen in die Falle. Alle Männer, alle, sie fallen darauf rein, genau wie du. Alle Männer, alle gehen den schönen Mädchen in die Falle.
Venky Mara and Alla Mana Alla here on the program. Anyway, that's all we have time for. If you want to get in touch with us, PCJQSL@PCJmedia.com. I'm going to make this short because I want to squeeze in one last song today, The Visitors, ABBA. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
The painting.